Good news, everyone. I've modified the spaceship and installed a time displacement device.
Eh, so what does that mean?
It means we're gonna rip Father Time a new one.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Folks, this is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where's the nearest shuttle off this rock?
Over there, in the media corner.
Thanks.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for August 19, 2009. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. And for many of you, that's more than we can ask. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is my co-host Craig Stepp, waving things in front of the webcam. He's got a little Pomeranian or something on his
like a corky
glass.
I don't know what this dog. It's almost. I don't know where we got this glass from. We don't have little small dogs like this in our house. I don't know why I got this, but it keeps my drink cold.
Totally off subject, but that has nothing to do with Technorama. Like I said, lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. Dog glasses don't.
You could be a dog geek.
You could be a dog geek. This is the tech and science sci-fi geek thing.
Or your
we got
dog
a lot of stuff,
geek.
So we're not going to dwell on his dishware.
Your dog may be a geek.
Before we get started, we want to mention our good friends at GoToAssist.com who help sponsor this show. We appreciate their help. You can try GoToAssist free for 30 days by going to GoToAssist.com/podcast. What you will find there is a terrific remote diagnostic tool to help you see what's on other people's screens who choose to accept your support. I didn't want that to sound
so
kind of like a...
GoToAssist.com will assist you in assisting others.
Help you, help them, help us. Wait.
Make the world a better place.
It's all about us, right? What you'll find is GoToAssist is a great remote diagnostic tool with 128-bit SSL encryption for doing remote diagnostic screen sharing. It's actually two-way screen sharing. I didn't realize this, but while we're doing a support session, I could see your screen. You can see my screen, which is kind of cool. Hey,
but the encryption is so good, the other ship will not be able to bring your shields down just by entering a code.
Right. You have to remember to change your command codes when you're done with the remote session.
That's right.
And always say hours instead of seconds. That's the IT rule. When somebody asks how long it will take to finish this thing.
Yes.
Weeks instead of days. Yeah. You know, you're in IT. How long it'll take to set up a new website? 6-7 months. Easy.
I graduated from the Montgomery Scott School of IT.
Right. The Daystrom Institute teaches that as a basic class. Anyway, back to GoToAssist.com, remote screen sharing. Wow. We are king of off track tonight.
Hey, you know, I was riding my bike this afternoon. And
Squirrel! Oh, sorry. Squirrel! Butterfly. Squirrel. Yeah. GoToAssist.com, free 30-day trial. Great remote assistance stuff. File sharing. Remote assistance, encryption from the good people at Citrix. Thank you very much for supporting the show. Now, can we get started?
Yeah, I guess okay.
This could be a very, very interesting show with our brainwaves tonight. At least.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Yeah? Wait a minute. Now start the show.
Okay.
Time is right.
I'm working on it. There. Coming up in tonight's show, we've got the Ultra Deep Field in 3D, some good and not so good Lego items, and Chuck's got leakage. Not sure I like the sound of that one, but let's find out later.
There are tens of thousands of podcasts for you to choose from.
So I was going to play a game of Magic against my friend Kenny, and I really wanted to.
And some of them go on.
So I went to the store to get and the silica on, deck, and the guy behind the counter said he didn't
and
have
on.
The silica deck, and I said I wanted to see.
But every week on Shortcomings Audio, I'll deliver a fresh, new 6-minute humor essay.
Assistant manager. So the assistant manager.
Shortcomings Audio.
I really need to get the silica.
Give me 6 minutes, and I'll share my life with you.
We don't sell game cards. This is an office supply store.
This is Dr. Michio Kaku, professor of theoretical physics, author of the new book, Physics of the Impossible. Yet, I can't even figure out Technorama.
You know, I can't help thinking every time I hear that Shortcomings Audio promo that it sounds a lot like our listeners. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't heard the latest Shortcomings Audio, oh my gosh, great stuff. He talks about meetings and really makes them good. So if you want to hear some funny stuff,
I'm going to go subscribe right now.
Shortcomings Audio, or follow him on Twitter, Kevin Lee C. Good stuff. He'll steer you in the right direction. Want to give a shout-out to the chat room. I believe we've got some kind of command structure problem here tonight. We've got...
Wait a minute. First off, we have too many captains, not enough lieutenants.
That's right. Captain AD Dude. At least I can pronounce him tonight. Claudio M., Captain Digital Hook, Captain Caffeination, Captain Comedy Forecast, Captain Gadgets, Captain Geek Cred, Captain Giant, Captain Marv, Captain Nightstar, Captain Shepherd, Captain Tim, Captain Zahadoom. Deb dropped, and the real Zahadoom. Captain Rootbeer, please stand up.
And Zahadoom. Wait.
He just jumped to the bottom. Follow the little rolling transcript. It says these people are changing names, and real Captain Rootbeer stands up. Good timing there, dude. Looking at the Technorama birthday calendar, happy birthday to Jedi Kez on the 20th, a.k.a. Brian from Winnipeg. 22nd, happy birthday to Zoidberg. And the crowd goes wild. Kyle Slingo's happy birthday on the 22nd also. And also on the 22nd, August 22nd, is April A. Bear's birthday. We didn't know that last year. Mm-hmm. No, we were there last year about this time. Middle of August, wasn't it? Doing our great...
September. Was it August?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it was.
Wow. Oh, maybe. I guess it was, because it was hot.
I have the... hold on. I got my certificate right here. My certificate of behind the scenes. I am entrusted with all the secrets. The Star Trek Experience secrets are revealed, unveiled. By authority of the United Federation of Planets, Chuck Tomasi has been entrusted with the secrets of this time station, 814-2008. Tour number 4309. Ha ha.
And that's the command codes for the Bozeman, USS Bozeman.
Would you quit giving away the secrets, man?
oh, sorry.
Gee whiz, man.
What a coincidence. His number is the same one as the USS.
Rounding out our birthday calendar, April is in August. August 24th happens to be the birthday of Rick Stringer and Ann Stringer, his wife, from Varying
really?
Frequencies.
They both have the same birthday, or is that an anniversary?
No, they both have the same birthday.
That's
Isn't
awesome.
That wild? If you want to get your name on the birthday calendar, we'd be happy to give you a shout-out. If it happens to be your birthday and you're not on the calendar, happy birthday to you anyway. We wish you all the best. And
where's your birthday music we had?
I don't know. I'm going to have to dig that up. Things have changed a bit since we last played that. I'm sure I have it. I just don't know where yet. You can visit our wiki at chuckchat.com/wiki. You mean the one where Mark Shepard was singing?
Yes.
Okay. We'll find it.
It's probably in your Gmail or something.
Could be. We'll find it. Go to chuckchat.com/wiki. You can get your name on the birthday calendar. We'll give you the shout out at the appropriate time of the year. And all those people we mentioned in the chat room are also real people. They're not just like bots that come along every Sunday night. But if you have a bot or you happen to be around on Sunday night, 10 Eastern, 9 Central, or maybe a little earlier. The festivities begin. You know, it's like a real party. Some people show up early and get all the good hors d'oeuvres. We have those things that look like cocktail weenies over there in the media corner.
They've been there for a while.
Love to help clear them out, and those other things that were supposed to be Rice Krispie bars that Craig came up with, not sure what they are now. I think we're using them as coasters, yeah. But they're tasty also. Where's my news? We got to start the news. I need my other soundboard thing.
Bad news, nobody.
I guess this could be construed as bad news. Apparently, Gordon Brown, the Prime Minister of Britain, joined the Twitter campaign in defending their national health... What is it? The NHS. I'm trying to remember what that is. The National Health something. Anyway, according to The Guardian, yeah. This picture looks like Barack Obama is giving Stephen Hawking a chiropractic adjustment.
He's trying to choke him.
Yeah. Now, just slip the cravat under your neck. Ouch.
Well, I didn't read the whole article. I just pulled it up, and as soon as I saw the picture, I was like, what in the world is he doing?
It says, Stephen Hawking receives his Presidential Medal of Freedom from the U.S. President Barack Obama. Uh-huh.
But I swear it looks like he's giving him a neck pinch, or he's trying to do the Vulcan neck pinch.
This is you know, good for Jon Stewart and us. Because it's got Barack Obama, yeah, and Stephen Hawking. What more could you want?
So he put some Spock ears on Obama. He'll look like Tuvok, and he's trying to...
Hey, he was in that episode of Star Trek Next Generation, right?
Who?
And Stephen Hawking.
Oh, yes, and he was.
Yeah, I guess he would look a little... Obama would look like Tuvok, wouldn't he? Sorry, I'm a little slow. I'm trying to read ahead into the script. The Prime Minister Gordon Brown and his wife Sarah last night weighed in on the increasing acrimonious debate over the NHS by joining a Twitter campaign defending the health service from attacks by U.S. Republicans intended on derailing... intent on derailing President Barack Obama's health care reforms. I was about to say, you don't intend on anything, you intend to... the NHS has been labeled... Sorry, slipped into grammar girl mode again. The NHS has been labeled evil and Orwellian by Republicans and campaigners who claim it allows the elderly to die untreated.
Yeah.
They argue deficiencies in the British system should act as warning, warning, warning. Where's the klaxon?
There you go.
warnings against the dangers of socialized healthcare system. I don't want to get into the whole political thing, but the picture was good.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Is that all you put that in there for?
I didn't care about
the picture?
Yeah, because I was like,
Tuvok
he's trying to kill Stephen Hawking. Hey, how's this for healthcare? See, they're trying to kill off Stephen Hawking, so he doesn't have to have any more care.
Speaking of healthcare, found out my house is leaking. No, this isn't moppable leakage. I got a notice on the door the other day that said Time Warner stopped by and said, this is the leakage patrol came by and found out I'm bleeding RF signals all over the place. And if I don't fix it, that I could be fined by the FCC.
I've never heard of
neither.
Anybody doing that.
So I called them back and I said, what should I do? And they kind of, it sounded like they blew me off. Oh, yes, blah, 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 we'll take care of it, and your service won't be disrupted, and they'll just have to fix something at the box. Well, if they had to fix something at the box, why didn't they fix something out at the box?
Why did they
and
even
then I come home from karate on Saturday morning, and there's the service truck outside my house, and there's the service man inside my house, and he's going around with this little, like, Geiger counter thing. That's going
like on Ghostbusters,
kind of
would count, you know.
Yeah, or Star Trek, where they're detecting who knows what they make up for words on that show. And he gets really close to one of the cable jacks, and it goes then he goes down the basement, and I've got an old Radio Shack amplifier, because when I outfitted my house with cable to every room, it needed a booster. So I went and got one of those boosters, and that sucker is just bleeding bad. I mean, his little handheld thing is going, spiking up at over 100. We unplugged the thing, it goes down to about 5. And he said,
wow.
I'm going to just call in and have him rewire you. That'd be great. I mean, Of it was some stuff I added, and then like the splitters where the cable comes into the house was out of spec and old, and the crimp connections were bad, and some stuff I had done, some stuff they had done, but it just been a long time coming. And he said, this will give you a problem with especially if you go to digital. And he said it could affect your internet performance as well. I said, well, suspicion.
All those times me and Craig had Skype problems.
And then since I got him in the house, I said, you want to take a look over here? Because right before the cable comes into the house, there's a nick in the cable. I was pulling weeds and kind of hit the cable with the little hand spade thing. So I'm just like the RF spewing fool. I've got like diarrhea of the radio frequency right now.
Oh, okay. Now you went a little too far. So did you have to leave it disconnected?
No, it's still connected. He said you could keep running it, but apparently I will get fined by the FCC at some point.
Well, I guess after they rewire your house, you wouldn't have this problem.
No, then I should be clean because I won't need the amplifier, which is really bizarre because last weekend I was thinking about, all right, this is how crude this is. There's an orange extension cord coming from the nearest outlet that's kind of strung up on the ceiling and then makes it to the amplifier. Mm-hmm. I was just about to rewire that properly with Romex, you know, the white housing wire. Boy, I'm glad I didn't take that one. Once again, procrastination pays off.
Yes. See, that's what I've been, that's my whole message.
So I'll be able to reclaim yet another 6-foot extension cord. Don't ask about the other one. It's a long story, and we don't have time for that. We're already...
So what is that on? Despair said, hard work pays off now, but procrastination pays off in the long run.
Yeah, sure. We're 17 minutes into the show, almost 18 minutes, and we're barely through the news. So let's go on to the Hacks and Strange Stories. Lenny! Hacks and Strange Stories! I think we got to send Lenny on a trip.
Oh,
he's
really?
A trip.
Okay. We got the budget for that?
No, but one guy has the budget to outdo the boy with the X-wing bunk bed. He made a Y-wing bunk bed complete with the docking bay. And the artwork on this is spectacular. This kid's room is all made up.
We talked about the AT-AT one before, the AT-AT walker.
The AT-AT. Didn't we have an X-wing also?
No, I think we actually talked about this Y-wing once before.
I don't think we did the Y-wing.
Really? Because I showed Harrison these pictures.
Really?
And he was like, wow.
I know that Francois Bucaru sent these to us also. These are from Geekalogy. Obviously vying for a coveted Father of the Year award, some guy went and made his son a Y-wing bunk bed and hangar-themed bedroom. Impressive. But what you don't know is that your son didn't want to sleep in a Y-wing. He wanted to sleep in a Tauntaun. He was just too embarrassed to say so because he knew how much it meant to you to be able to drink beer in the garage and play with power tools. Son of the year? No. But I wouldn't put him up for adoption either. He's a keeper. All right.
That's funny. Hey, by the way, did you hear that ThinkGeek.com was actually being able to produce the Tauntaun sleeping bag? I'm serious. On April Fool's, they posted a few products, but the sleeping bag, unzip it, and inside it looks like, you know, just printed guts on the thing.
The cool thing is, if you have a bedwetting problem, it doesn't matter because the smell is already there.
Well, but it had the little lightsaber is hooked to the zipper, so you know you look like you're cutting it open every time you...
That's pretty funny. This guy did a pretty good job with the paint job. The Y-wing is suspended from the ceiling, and it's got like blaster marks on the side of it and everything. Far
it's very
out.
Cool.
Okay, and what's not very cool is who was it? MSI? Yeah, MSI. Their video on promoting their laptop.
Yeah, I watched this video, and
it's disturbing.
It's
got three guys in like Lycra, what are they, wrestling or athletic outfits or something.
Yeah.
And one guy is tossing a laptop to another, but the catcher is not catching it with his hands or his teeth. He's catching it with his butt cheeks. Yeah. Yes, you heard us right. And there are many, many stunts. And at first you think this was done through some trickery or photography. But at the end, the guy's walking funny like you would expect him to.
There's no way he did that. There's no
Every
way.
Time?
Huh?
Every time?
There's no way.
It's just disturbing, to say the least. Yeah, I am not buying any MSI products on behalf of this ad.
You go judge for yourself and get back to us.
Okay. Go to the link on the show notes. We'll have them posted.
Yeah.
All right. What else you wouldn't believe is the cops bust a guy for selling what his friends or should we say clients thought was an HDTV. Full of stickers that say full HD 1080p. It had a Best Buy sticker on there, advertises $1,949, 37 inch HD Sony. Turns out it wasn't an HDTV. It was
an oven door.
That's right.
Actually, to be honest with you, it looks kind of convincing with all the stickers and stuff.
It does, and it's probably as heavy. He's got a remote tape to the front. He's got cables in the back. It says, wow, good try. San Leandro, California police stopped a man after reports he tried to sell an HDTV at a Walmart parking lot. Yeah, that's a good place to sell it.
That'd be the first flag for me.
However, it turned out to be a plastic-wrapped glass oven door with Sony and Best Buy stickers. The man is suspected of trying to charge $100 for what appeared to be a 37-inch flat-screen television. He had even stuffed electronic cables and a manual in the back.
You know, I'll say that's got to be a big oven door, though.
That's got to be a big oven, yeah. Like one of those industrial-sized pizza ovens.
So now you can watch your chicken cook in HD.
Hey, the oven, I mean, there's a comment in here that I think nailed it. It said, this is a new version of an old scam. San Leandro Police Lieutenant Pete Ballou called it a variation on the old rocks in a box scam, which is a box is presented as containing new expensive electronics for sale, but is actually just a box of rocks.
Well, that's happened with people buying a Mac or something like that and had a brick in it.
There's a comment in there says, I guess he'd seen the Microsoft label the new Zune as HD, so he figured he could use the same logic as the oven door. Now, I'm thinking the oven, you know, the oven is probably in at least 1080p.
Yeah. Wow, look at that pizza. It looks better than before.
Self-browning television. What's up with that?
Self-basting, self-cleaning.
Oh, man. All right, you get the next one. Steamboat Willie.
Yeah, you get the next one. Yeah, Steamboat Willie. This is actually a gentleman who built this hovercraft, but it's not just any hovercraft. It's human powered.
Say
you
what?
Sit down in it like a. It's human powered.
Okay. Now, to make a hovercraft, you need two things. You need a downward force to keep the hover portion, the skirt, inflated. And you need a second propulsion to move you forward or sideways or whatever. So, that's right. What is he, pedaling to do both?
It's like a recumbent bike, and you sit in the chair and you pedal. And it has a fan that that turns and blows down into the skirt. And behind him is like a swamp boat-esque type propeller sticking up in the back, you know, to catch the air. So, yeah, there's a video. You can see him. He starts cranking it, and you can hear the fan kick in, and it sounds just like a motor or something that was really working. So yeah, and then other people I think have gone through here and built their own too, and you can find some galleries in here with all kinds of information. There's technical on how to build it and all that kind of good stuff.
Clinton in the chat room said he just watched that MSI video and he said, "I need Chuck to hit me with the Men in Black zap light." I had to flash my little LED at the webcam.
Yeah.
Way too disturbing. But the human-powered hovercraft looks cool. I want to give that a try. Mm-hmm. All right, this from the real-life files of Technorama. Earlier this week, we found out that Dubshack, who's on the Farpoint Media mailing list, was having problems with his... downloading a ringtone to his wife's phone. So he sent this email and gave us permission to read this aloud. He said, "So I get my replacement phone yesterday because the other one was a piece of carp and broke on me. After I'm done entering in contacts, I realize I don't have any of my ringtones. So I get into iTunes and realize the All-American Rejects have made the perfect one. After I'm done sending Gives You Hell to my phone, my wife starts complaining that I haven't made one for her. So, a few months ago, I did. But for some reason, when I went to email, she never got them. So I tried again, made her some new ones, and sent them off. She's still not getting them. I'm trying to figure out what the deal is, and I realize I've entered one of the numbers wrong, as he slaps his forehead. So I fix the number, and voila, she gets them. This morning I come into work and they've got a message for me to call this guy named Deputy Schatzer. And I'm worried, like, okay, I've either done something or for some reason they're going to tell me that either Lana's aunt or brother are dead. Both are in the hospital, one with congestive heart failure and one with a heart attack and aneurysm. Whoa, that's serious. Okay. So I call and I get this. This is Phil. And he says, hi, this is Michael. You wanted to talk with me? Oh, this is Michael, huh? Do you know who I am? And he says, no. Well, I don't know you either, so stop effing sending me text messages and ringtones.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Yeah, here we go. Should have had that one queued up.
There you go.
Wow. That's a serious case of getting the wrong number.
That's funny. That is funny. I read that and I was like, oh, I just gotta.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage?
Good times.
Technorama remembers.
Yeah, baby. Well, Technorama is remembering all those classic console design mistakes.
Tell. I only got through about the first eight, but there are...
There's too many for us to go through every one of them, but what's funny... As you look at some of the good designs now, like the iPod or a lot of the Apple products or even some of the game consoles like the Wii or all that stuff. So easy to use, right? Well, these controllers and handheld game boxes, it's like, what were they thinking?
And that's just what it says. What were they thinking?
Yeah. What were they
thinking? There's stuff on the Intellivision, which I never liked those controllers.
I never did either because they had this bubble buttons and the dial pad.
It looks more like thing. You know, it almost looks more like an iPod or a cell phone these days. Now that I look at it again, the one that I think I like the best that I've seen, and they don't hold back. I mean, they rip on the NES and the Sega. What was it? Not the Genesis, the Saturn. I mean, there were a bunch of them. But the second one, the RCA Studio 2, the game controllers, now granted, this is 1977, early in the video game days, just north of Pong.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The game controllers, there's two of them. They look like telephone dial pads, 1 through 9 and a 0, and that's about it. And it's all in one console, so you have to sit shoulder to shoulder with your opponent, or in some cases, closer than that.
Isn't that funny?
And the RF converter, the signal that you flip back and forth to go to game or TV, remember those things you had to hook up to your television?
Yeah.
The power comes through there, so if this thing goes out, you're basically off. You know, this is a custom part. You're not going anywhere.
Well, you know, with the RF things that you'd hook on the back of the TV?
Yeah.
What was the problem? They were behind the TV.
Well, ours was kind of sticking out the side, and televisions...
Well, still, you had to reach behind the TV to try to...
Craig, you didn't have 27-inch televisions back in 1977. There were
we had 27-inch cables. Why didn't anybody hook one up and stick it out for a little bit?
Yeah, maybe... I think we played Pong on maybe, like a 17-inch. Most of the time, it was a 12-inch.
I was black and white, man.
Yeah. It wasn't real hard to reach behind a 12-inch. I mean, you could put your whole arm around it, kind of like in a headlock. It wasn't a big TV.
I consider that a design flaw. You should be able to flip the switch in the front.
You had to get up to change a channel anyway. What's the problem?
All right, we'll move them right along.
Okay.
Hey, the other one I thought was kind of funny was the Nintendo Virtual Boy.
Yeah, I like that one.
It had like a stand, and you put your face to it, and it was supposed to give you like a 3D effect and while you play it. It's kind of weird. It's really weird.
Okay, so this weekend I'm going through and looking to back up my photos off of the hard drive, because I do this periodically. I just cut a couple of DVDs, and I'm looking for my old collection to remember when I last did this. I think it was the beginning of 2007 or 2008. I need to know how far back I go. I'm looking through our fire safes. We've got three of them, those small ones about the size of, you know, hanging files. And I come across this one file that normally you put important documents in here. And at one point, my priorities must have been a whole lot different. Because what I found in one of these was stuff from my college years. Okay. And this has a lot of Star Trek paraphernalia in it. I kid you not. This is from the
local...
Here's
all my videotaped episodes.
The local television station, circa December 91. If you send them a mail or a postcard or something, they will send you the monthly Star Trek Next Generation schedule. Okay?
Okay.
So, episode 183, The Final Mission, airs January 1st, 1991 at 6 p.m., right? And I highlighted, these must have been the ones I want to record, because they were all the new ones.
It's funny.
Okay. All right, wait, it gets better. It gets better.
Okay.
I have several posters from Star Trek IV. This is the official poster magazine. I don't even know what the date is, but what Star Trek IV came out in 80... I should know, there's a poster around here somewhere. 86...
Which one? I'm sorry.
This is Save the Whales. Captain, there'll be whales here. And transparent aluminium, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and there were a number of posters you could rip out. This is especially fun for the people on the webcam. Okay, we've got the whole crew standing on the... I was right.
It was 86. Okay,
standing on the crashed Klingon ship.
Oh, yeah, I remember that
picture.
There's
Montgomery Scott on the other side. These are two-sided, crappy four-way posters.
Yeah,
these
I've seen that.
Okay.
You should
We've
those
got
up.
Sarek and, you know, the Spock family picture. Right?
Yeah.
And on the reverse side is the Enterprise with Sulu and Uhura. I mean, these are all in this one. We've got...
The ship, the battleship, not the spaceship.
The Enterprise aircraft carrier, right. Okay, and then we got... Dr.
Kim Cattrall.
Jillian, what's her name?
Not Kim... Yeah.
That's not Kim
Elizabeth
Cattrall.
Shue, wasn't it? No, who was that?
Look on IMDb. Okay, now, here, this gets even better. I have an 8.5x11 pen plotter diagram of the Enterprise... Okay, I don't know, you can't see that real well. I'll hold it up there. That works a little better. Okay, that's in color, blue and red.
Excuse me, it was Catherine Hicks, by the way.
Thank you. And then, the tape is kind of sticking together on this. I have a two-page dot matrix ASCII art. Okay, this is in my fire safe now. This is, I can't undo it, of the Enterprise. Okay, there's the front half, the NCC-1701.
Oh, that's cool.
There. Yeah,
you know what?
I've
seen
distance,
that before.
It looks pretty good.
Not your copy, but I've seen the ASCII image.
And
yeah.
there's also a poster of the Eagles live that must have come in my two album set. I was like, come
all
on.
The Star Trek stuff, and then got Eagles. That's awesome.
I cracked up. I'm like, this
you know
is taking
should,
up space in my fire safe. I probably can't put in like some insurance policy because our safe is full
of crap. You know what's funny is you know what we should do is if you're willing to give it away.
NCAP says sounds more like a time capsule, not a safe.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back and look for more. I can only imagine.
Time being the operative word there.
Right. All right. Fun with that. Let's go on to... Well, let's take a quick break and then we'll join in the media corner. Sound good?
Warning. The Imperial Command has detected unauthorized or incorrect facts in the podcast called Technorama. If you detect information that needs correction, or you want to have your say, call them on the listener line at 206-222-2428. Here's a nickel. Call someone who gives a shit.
Hey, Geek Thoughts.
Can a transporter transport itself?
You have never seen anything like this before. It's Geeks Gone Wild. Watch geeks uninhibited having the time of their lives. LAN parties, Bluetooth sniffing, hacking, and the Mountain Dew flows like water. You've never seen Cheetos consume this fast. Act now and receive not only Geeks Gone Wild Volume 1, but also get Geeks Gone Wild Con Edition and the Geeks Gone Wild D&D Weekend. Order today. Visa and MasterCard accepted. Offer not available in Canada. Must be 18 years or older to order.
Technorama. It's easier to figure out than Rubik's Cube.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
That must mean Dr. Michio Kaku can't figure out Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, right.
That just dawned on me. I did not think about that when I put those two in the same lineup.
That's funny.
All right, looking at the media corner, oh my goodness, we're going to have to get through this pretty quick. Looks like Warner Brothers Pictures is developing a movie around the Lego, or Lego bricks as they're called elsewhere.
Hey, by the way, I hear it's going to be a blockbuster.
Lego blocks. Oh, yeah, that's... I think we can leave it at that.
Blockbuster. You know, if they don't use something like, it's going to be the summer blockbuster, you know, something like that, I'd be sorely disappointed.
And with that, let's move on.
Okay.
Gizmodo brings us a short video from YouTube showing 10,000 galaxies. The overwhelming. You remember when in what was it, 1995 or 96, they aimed the Hubble at what they thought was just kind of a blank section of sky.
Yeah.
Up by in the northern hemisphere, kind of up by the Big Dipper, and they let it expose over 10 days, and they got what they called the Hubble Deep Field, one of the most amazing pictures I've ever seen.
It looks like somebody did a collage and put a bunch of galaxies on a piece of paper.
Yeah, I mean, very old. Well, you know, back then the galaxies were closer together.
Yeah.
Because the further out in space you go, the further back in time you're looking. Well, they aimed it at another place just a little bit below Orion. I was thinking at first they were going to aim it at Orion's crotch, but that wouldn't be cool. They aimed it at another place. Orion's nasal passage. And they got what they call the ultra-deep field. And this looks so far back that it's like 500 million years after the Big Bang, which is only shortly after the universe became transparent. Any older than that, and you go kind of opaque. Because I'll let you listen to Astronomy Cast if you want to know more about that. I'm not going to try and do it justice. But these are very, very, very baby pictures of the universe. And they kind of do this 3D fly-through. It feels like Star Trek, where you're zinging past galaxies or stars as they go by. Really neat rendering. It's about a 4-minute video. I encourage you, if you got any interest in this kind of thing, go have a listen. Neat stuff. It shows how they were taken and when they were taken, and a lot of good historical information. At first, they all look like dots, but as they go past, like, whoa, that's a whole galaxy. Yeah. And you got to remember, this really gives a good perspective of how big the universe is. I mean, you can't even do a scale diagram to say if the Earth was the size of a grain of sand, because if you take it to that scale, you're still gonna be like bigger than the solar system. Your model gets so huge, and
we wouldn't be irrelevant. You wouldn't.
It's phenomenal, because in each galaxy there's, you know, hundreds of millions of stars, and in the universe there's billions of galaxies, and just wow. Okay, I said we were going to get through this quickly, and I'm...
Yeah, come on, man.
I'm just blown away sometimes when I hear that.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, moving right along, we got from Boston.com, they always have this great feature called The Big Picture, and they show fantastic photographs of whatever subject they pick. And this time it is robots.
Kill all humans.
You kill all humans.
Was Bender in there?
Yeah, no, I didn't see any Bender. But there's some fantastic footage of robots and how, you know, they're just part of our lives every day. Some you know, the U.S. Marines, they use robots, you know, to sniff out IEDs or to do whatever. There's all kinds of utilities for that. You can go see some of the robots that people are trying to make where they can interface with humans more. And I think some of the, was it in China, the robots that look like, you know, Chinese women.
Oh, my gosh. They've got, yeah, one that's like in a beauty pageant. Oh, and that reminds me, we're probably not getting quite the viewership on the web stream tonight because the Miss Universe pageant is also going on at the same time. They've got like 17,000 viewers. Yeah. I want somebody to go over there in the chat room and knock a few this way.
Well, you know, we kind of compete against them.
Yeah. Sometimes we get the front page.
On some level. Anyway, go check them out. Go check out these robots. You know what? I wanted to point out there's one down towards the bottom. It looks like that big mechanical thing that Sigourney Weaver was using in Aliens. You know?
Oh, a like big mech thing?
Yeah.
Nice.
A big red mech. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Also, on the topic of Sigourney Weaver, what else is hot is women in bikinis reading Star Wars script. All right,
yeah.
These are not the greatest actresses, and they are not staying true to character, but hey, and you know, it's just a fun 3 minutes to watch.
And I'm okay with that.
You got the part, baby.
Yeah.
For Craig's fan film.
Like, yeah, a couple of scenes, there's two of them in there talking as they're reading the Star Wars script, and they're in bikinis.
Yeah.
Now, you can go through, once this was done, or there's some related videos, you can go watch them do other things, like they were doing the Big Lebowski. Some other things.
So I'm strangely attracted to Greedo
ones,
now.
So be careful.
I'm strangely attracted to Greedo now.
Yeah. Greedo's all of a sudden kind of attractive. Hey, this next article, it just really gets me. I don't understand why or how or where they're taking this, but Bryan Singer is going to direct, you know, he's directed Superman and the X-Men film. He's going to direct and produce a new Battlestar Galactica movie. Now, it has nothing to do with the Galactica show that we just wrapped up.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am sure. So what? Why? It's supposed to be related to the 78 series.
What's the point?
I mean, Glenn Larson is on producing.
The film is not expected to be a continuation of the current popular television show that's running. No, leave the 70s show in the 70s, please.
I don't get it. Where? Why? It's just weird because we just had this...
Coattails. You know, someone's riding along.
We had this great series in, and now they're doing this other... I don't get it. I just don't understand that. So, I think it's a waste of money. But we'll see. That might be cool. I don't know.
All right. Then get back to Star Trek. Or Star Wars, excuse me.
Yeah.
We probably should have grouped these better together. Would have made for better segues.
Yeah, well, whatever. Anyway, so... I ran across this. This is Escape from Tatooine. It's a Star Wars fan movie spoof thing, and it's kind of weird.
It is kind of weird. It's very bizarre. The guy starts out running, escaping from Tatooine, and
Sarlacc
gets shot by a Sandman, and gets into what was it? Jango Fett's ship.
Well, he steals Boba Fett's backpack and flies out of the Sarlacc. You can hear him arguing in the pit. And then he gets in the Slave One and takes off, and he kind of goes from there. So it was kind of fun.
But at some point, it's like his green screen cut out. You can see the green screen. And they're playing Holst's Mars, which is always good background music, by the way. It makes for good World War II films. And any battle scene, use Mars. It's great.
Yeah.
And then he apparently gets to Earth. Oh, and the 501st makes an appearance in there as well. So, neat little short film.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, where does that leave us in the lineup? I got to flip back and forth on screens here.
I think that you have something to say.
Oh, I'm up.
What the chuck? What's up with that?
All right, thanks to Bookaroo who forwarded this short flick. Apparently, this guy can solve two Rubik's Cubes and play Guitar Hero. No fooling. I had to see it to believe it. It's not terribly entertaining, but it's like a train wreck in slow motion. You can't not watch.
You know what? That's talent.
He's solving a Rubik's Cube with his right hand while hitting the strum on Guitar Hero with his right elbow. And he's not just playing on easy or medium. He's playing hard. There's, like, four levels in Guitar Hero? Easy,
yeah.
Medium, hard, and extreme or expert or something. And he's playing right up there and keeping up pretty well. During the intense parts, he's playing I can't remember the song now.
I'm not listening to it.
By Ozzy. But, amazing. He solves the first one in like 1:03. I couldn't even solve a Rubik's Cube with two hands, not playing Guitar Hero in 1:03 when I was, you know, in my prime in high school. But
in your prime.
You didn't have a Rubik's prime?
What? Yeah, I'm still in it. Hey, you know what kept going through my mind when I saw this? His parents must be proud.
Yeah, well, from a multitasking standpoint, you got to wonder where this kid's going to land a job.
Yeah.
You know, video cue. This is just a sample of what he can do. I want to see what he can do, you know, for profit.
You're going to have him working on a help desk by the end of the month.
I'm sure his social skills probably need help if this is as good as he gets.
Hello, sir. How are you doing? Can I help you?
No, you're a DBA. Thanks. Stay in the back room.
Yeah, DBA. Yeah.
Sorry if I offended any DBAs out there.
He's so good at multitasking, we let him handle all the SQL queries by hand.
He can do stored procedures and straight SQL at the same time. Guy's amazing. And Guitar Hero. All right. Finally, in the geek library, we've got, hey, what do you know? Legos.
Yeah.
Of Spock's jellyfish.
This was too good to pass up. The jellyfish ship that the Vulcan Science Academy had put together.
Is that the official name of the ship?
I think it was, yes.
The jellyfish. Never heard it called that before, but now that I look at this model, I guess you can kind of get that out of there. I just thought this is one of the most cool ship designs I've seen out of the Trekverse ever.
Mm-hmm. I would say this was, let's rate our ships here. I think for me, the Millennium Falcon. I'm not doing this in order, by the way. I like the Slave One. I like this ship.
I can never figure out which direction Slave One is going to fly.
I know, because it kind of stands up, flies. Yeah, I always thought that was a cool ship. This one, of course.
I'm putting this right up there.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
The new Enterprise. Actually, I like the new Enterprise from the show, the movie. The new movie.
The newest Enterprise?
I do, yeah.
Like NCC-1701E? Is that what you're talking about?
The one that was in the most recent movie.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, because the nacelles were on those little, the arms were kind of curved to hold it up.
Gotcha.
Oh, and what was that? There's another ship. It was on Voyager. It was the experimental ship, and its name escapes me. It was, it's on the tip of my tongue. That was a cool ship, too.
You think of it, you can put it at the end of the show when you're doing post.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, if you hear something at the end of this, and it's just like one word, you'll know what it is. And that gives them a chance to figure it out in the next couple of days. All right, that takes us to the end of the show.
Excelsior. It was...
I'll go through the credits. You think it out or look it up.
Yeah.
If you want to get in touch with us, don't forget, speaking of upcoming things, we've got an interview coming up with In3, the 3D people who are behind GeForce. We've got a great conversation with them. Look for that in the next week or so. We appreciate your support. If you want to get in touch with us, like TD0013 said earlier, call the listener line 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. Or you can email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. Find us on Twitter and Facebook. Website, chuckchat.com/... Yeah, you'll find us. Don't forget to come and see us live at DragonCon. You can find us Friday night, 10 p.m., room 204 at the Hilton, doing Technorama Live. Oh, the insanity. I can't imagine it. It would be like this, only better, because people will be laughing out loud, not just smiley faces in a chat room. Nothing wrong with that. We love it. Or Sunday, 8:30, Comedy Forecast. Same place, room 204. We're on the podcasting track. Craig's going to volunteer. Look for him. Look for us. I'll be outside selling pencils.
And stickers.
They'll be high tech. Don't worry. I'll have a flashing LED or something.
Oh, it was the Prometheus. That was it. Prometheus.
Special thanks to Bad Bar for providing all the great block commentary during the week. We're going out with the same set of ADD we came in on this show with, and it's running really long. You stream for all the video stuff going on Sunday night. If you happen to be around, we'd love to see you there and in the chat room. Speaking of the chat room provided by freenode.net, thank you very much. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with Farpoint Media, all the great podcasts over there, hey, at at farpointmedia.net there.
I thought you were turning Canadian on me.
Going back to my Yooper roots there, hey?
Oh, boy.
You going to come up and go deer hunting this fall? Don't forget your flannel and your last year's hunting licenses. Chicks dig it. Yeah, put it on the back of the shirt when you go to the bar. We'll go hunting around Iron Mountain. Sorry, slip into that mode every once in a while.
That's funny.
Tell a friend about Technorama. I'm not sure why, but I'm sure we'll figure something out. And until next time,
on us.
A binary high five.
101, everybody.
Woo.
By the way, it was the NX-59650. That was its designation.